breath, and we praise you. We exalt you, exalted Father. Be magnified in our worship, in our praise. Be magnified by the word of your truth, manifested in every area of our lives. You are our God, our keeper, our healer, our deliverer, our peace. God who's redeemed us, God who's sanctified us, God who has restored our soul. You are a great shepherd, and we magnify your holy name. Thank you, Lord, that you are bearing us in your arms. And Lord, oh God, every day we celebrate because, Father, your glory is manifested in our lives. For each day, every day, declares your glory. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, oh God, that knowledge has been revealed and released into our hearts. So, Father, there's no time that we need worry about anything because all things are under your control. Blessed be your holy name, Father, in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name. Thank you, Father, for teaching us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to this evening of study. We are in the book of Proverbs, and we went as far as 27 last week, or whenever that was, where it says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. When you have the fear of God, the reverence of God, your days are prolonged. But it says, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. That's a remarkable statement. God's word says, the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Why? God doesn't want people that disassemble or create confusion in the lives of his people. People who are resistant to his will and to his word. He's not going to give them a forever time. So he says, their days, their years are shortened. Now, it might seem like a contradiction because the word of God also says that God is patient, not willing that anyone should perish. And so sometimes wicked people who are doing terrible things seem to live a long while. And one may wonder, why is God letting them live that long when they're causing so much pain and trouble for so many people? And the idea about their days being shortened is not only in terms of being cut down, but rather their days or years are shortened in the terms of, let's say you want to touch that wall and make a connection to that wall. God's word, when it talks about shortened here, it's talking about their ability to connect their life to power off what they want to accomplish is shortened. So it's like having a shortened cord. Does that make sense? You have a shortened cord, so you're not really able to make a connection. And so God is basically saying, in terms of being shortened in this particular case, that he's docking them off. He's not allowing them to dock. You get it? Okay, so you appear short and not able to make that fullness. Shortened, so they are not able to receive the harvest that they were expecting. In essence, they are cut off. That is, or cut back. That's the idea. This word, kotsar, is the word, kotsar. It's shortened. The years of the wicked shortened. In other words, the years that they would have been able to accomplish things, they end up not accomplishing. Their days are shortened, their years are shortened. However, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, not mourning, because the word kotsar can also be translated mourning. You know, so they are not able to accomplish what they want to accomplish, and they are in grief. They are in mourning because they cannot make it. They thought they had you, but they are catching air. Make sense? It's a very powerful word. It says, but the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. The righteous will end up being glad, fulfilled, because God's goodness is establishing them. It says, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The expectation of the wicked shall perish. It goes back to that word kotsar again, but this word is the word abad. Abad. You know, so the expectation of the wicked shall go bad. That's the best way I can put it. Amen? It's going to go bad. It's going to perish. It's not going to fulfill its real purpose. Now, certain things in the Word of God become realized because we declare it so. So as long as we do not declare the Word of God and say the activities of the wicked perish, they come to an end, they are shortened, they will continue to be there. Just like weed, if you don't get rid of the weed will continue to grow. Right? So when we know what the Word of God says, we need to stand on the foundation of that word and declare the wickedness of the wicked must cease. We declare it. The activities of witchcraft operating around me come to an end, perish. Let the expectation, whatever wickedness was being expected by the enemy, will fail. And the enemy will be put in a state of grief because he cannot accomplish what he thought he was going to accomplish. So in essence, Father, frustrate every enemy in my life. Frustrate every enemy. Every enemy that wants to see me fail, frustrate them by causing me to be victorious in spite of their agenda. Praise God. Now, that point is very crucial. Things continue to be the same until we put a stop to it. The Word of God says, resist the enemy, resist the devil, and then the devil will flee. Yeah? So the devil is not going to flee if you are not resisting. Make sense? You've got to resist. Some things are not automatic. Some things have causation. So this causes that, this stops that, This allows that. This hinders that. So we need to find out what the Word of God says. Now, if the ways of the enemy are going to stop, the expectation of the wicked perishes. Verse 29 says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Now, how do we shut down the enemy? By following the way of the Lord. And it gives to us strength. If you're going to resist the enemy, you need strength, don't you? Yeah? If we're going to resist the enemy, we need strength. So where is the strength coming from? From the way of the Lord. What is the way of the Lord? Truth. Amen? The way of the Lord is the way of truth. Not lies, truth. And on the basis of truth, resist the enemy. What truth? The Word of God. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Guess what? All three are the same. If the enemy succeeds in his agenda, then your life will be gone. But because you're upholding the way of truth, you continue to live when the enemy thinks that you should perish. God is not willing that we perish, but that we all come to repentance. So what is the point then? The point is sometimes we're doing the wrong thing and we need to repent. We're saying the wrong thing, we start saying the right thing. And in saying the right thing, you are able to resist the enemy. He says, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Destruction shall be. In real terms, how it should read is, but destruction to the workers of iniquity. But destruction to the workers of iniquity. Watch this. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction to the workers of iniquity. Did you get that? You see, because the word shall be there is not in the original text. It's in italics. So when you see it in italics, is because it is put there to bring understanding. But sometimes what they put there to bring understanding actually takes away from the impact. So in essence, when you look at it, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction to the workers of iniquity. So what is destruction to the workers of iniquity? The way of the Lord, which is the word of truth. Do you see it? So Jesus is able to say, it is written. Your resisting the enemy is not by mind power, positive thinking, positive talk. It is the Word of God. What did the Word of God say? That's how you're resisting the enemy. And that's what causes him to flee. Amen? I hope you got that. Did you get that? You sure you got it? Okay. That's important. What is strength to you is the demise of the enemy. The truth that you know becomes the defeat of the enemy. That is key. So the sword, the word of God is what? A double-edged sword. Amen? For you it's cutting for good, but for the enemy's cutting for bad. Praise God. So as you are moving ahead, the enemy is falling behind. As you are made head, he's becoming tail. Hallelujah. So let me say it again. Verse 29, Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is what? Strength to the upright. The way of the Lord, strength. You see, the word is in italics also. So you can basically read it, the way of the Lord, strength to the upright. The way of the Lord, strength to the upright. So as you stand in truth, strength comes. It's not is coming, it's the same thing. The way of the Lord, strength to the upright, but destruction to the workers of iniquity. So the presence of God, which is the way of the Lord, remember, God says to, I think it's Exodus 33, God says to Moses, I'm not coming with you. I'm going to send an angel. Moses says, no. Don't be calling these people my people. They are your people. You brought them out. And by the way, if your presence doesn't come with us, we're not going anywhere. So when you think about it, the way of the Lord is the path that God's presence is walking in. So what does the word of God say? It says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So what is this way of the Lord? The way of the Lord is a place of unity. Oh, I don't know if you're getting this. Are we together? It's a place of unity. So what does unity do? Unity strengthens you. When you're united, you're strong. If I brought you a broom, an African broom, most of them are the main straw of a palm. Okay? Well, let's say any broom. If I give you one broom and I say, break it.
Edna Hijazi Malmquist.
If you know better. Oh, I can't do that. If I give you a broomstick, just one broom, you break it easy. If I bring them together and I say break it, you won't be able to because they're united, right? Well, the way of the Lord is a way of unity, is a way of truth, yes? But it's also the place of unity. Because that's where the presence of God is. And where God is, you cannot be broken. But it is destruction to the enemy. Remember when the presence of the Lord came and there's a demonized person, they start crying out, have you come to destroy us before our time? The presence of God speaks destruction to the enemy. And that's why you and I need to walk with the presence of God every day of our life. We need the presence of God. The presence of God, you saying, I'm blessed and highly favored, it changes a lot of things. For example, today, you know, I got notification, I'm trying to help a friend of mine up north with a lot of stuff that they need. Last minute tells me he needs blinds. Can I find some blinds for him for their church? I said, how come you're talking to me about this now? I'm in Toronto. So I stop at a place. I negotiated. I got a price point. But it's going to take 2 weeks. They need this stuff right away. I come to town. I check with somebody here. And it's going to take 6 weeks. I need it for Friday. So today I said, Lord, okay, what am I supposed to do? Show me. And he shows me. So I go to this particular business place and I say to them, I need this. It's not just like one blind, it's quite a few of them. And says, I can get it to you. When do you need it for? I told him, I said, it has to be installed right away. He says, I can get it to you maybe on Friday. I said, Friday, that's pushing it. It needs to be installed right away. And as I'm sitting down there, he says, you know what? I'll stop everything and we'll get on top of it. And I just talked to them maybe around 11 o'clock. Would you believe it? I got all everything that I needed. I just picked it up and shipped it. Favor. When we say, I'm blessed and highly favored, you think it's just a slogan. But if I keep on telling you about the impact of that word and how it's dismantled the enemy in so many situations, they needed something. They needed some carpet, tiles, and stuff like that. I said, Lord, these people, they push things to the end. But Lord, you knew about this. So show me where. I need to help these people. And the Lord worked it out. I got everything, shipped everything, gone. I think they were talking to somebody here in prison. Says, what? You got that already? Yeah, blessed and highly favored. God causes things to fall in order for you because he already knows about it. So his word becomes unity when you are united to his word. Remember, you are in Christ, in the Father, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So you won. Yeah? So when this bottle of water becomes one with me, if I go like that, it does exactly what I am doing. Do you see that? Okay, when we are united to God, we move at the speed of God. Oh, come on, please help me. And I need to be renewed in the spirit of my mind because it's not automatic. It's when I am bound to him. And he's bound to me. Then that happens. So if something is not happening the way I want, I don't need to fret or worry about it. If it's not going the way I think it should, God must have a plan that I don't know. There's something that he knows that I don't know. Because at the fullness of time, if this is where I'm supposed to be, I'm there. Because, are you with me? God is already there, even though he's here. Because he's everywhere present. Is that too much? He's everywhere present. So I don't need to be afraid, worried, concerned about anything, because he's where I am not. But I am where he is, in him, and because he's here, and he's there, 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 I'm everywhere. Oh, Jesus, help me. Because I'm in him. Amen? I'm in him. And because I am in him, my word becomes destruction to the enemy. Whether I'm here or there or there, I don't need to fly from here to somewhere to go solve a problem. Because the problem solver is here and there. But I need to renew my mind to think that way for it to happen. So what does the enemy say? The enemy says, you are here and they are over there. How are you going to solve the problem over there? The centurion said, I'm a man under authority. And I know you are. All I need for you to do is speak the word only, and my servant who is over there is going to be healed. And when he got information, he says, when did he start getting better? He told him, he says, it's the same time. It's the same time, because he's here and there. He's right here and he's right there. And he will show to you what you need to do. Amen? He'll show to you. You know, he'll connect you with the people that you need to be connected with. Praise the Lord. So while I was doing this, one of my friends that I've not seen for a long time, he's the GM for one of the main car dealerships, comes in to the same place where I was. We started chatting. So I said, I was leaving, I said, hey, I'm having a block party. I need some donation. He said, no problem. Just send me an email or something. And gifts, whatever you want, you can have it. That's it. Why did I go there at the same time? Because that's someplace I wouldn't have gone to. He was not even in my radar to go ask something from. But God made sure he was there. We connected. So that's done. Amen? Now, you say, all of those things that you just talked about, what does that have to do with what you're talking about here? That's called strength. You get that? That's what strength is. Strength gives you the capacity to accomplish what you need to accomplish. Amen? He says, but for the wicked, workers of iniquity, They're all going to face frustration. They think they've got this figured out, this is going to happen, the whole thing falls apart. Try this, it falls apart. Try that, it falls apart. Have you ever seen a kid trying to open a door or something and they can't open it? They're frustrated. Well, that's what exactly happens to the enemy of your soul. Frustration. Someone say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I declare that the enemies of my soul are totally frustrated because destruction has come upon them, because your strength has empowered me to succeed while they fail. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 30 says, the righteous shall never be removed. The righteous shall never be removed. The righteous shall never be removed. You know, the enemy would like to remove you from positions of authority or whatever. And sometimes in the natural, it might seem like you've been removed from one thing, from one position. You got fired, whatever. And you say, but Lord, your word says the righteous shall never be removed. I just got removed. No. You got it wrong. When God says the righteous shall never be removed, he's saying, you're not ever removed from the place of divine dignity and honor that is ascribed to you. Now, you can move from one position to another, but you were not removed. You were just moved. I don't think you got it yet. When somebody is removed, they are forcibly taken out of a place. And there's no place for them but the place of defeat, the place of shame. So if I come and I remove you from a place, I remove you to something lower. If I moved you, I could move you to something lower or move you to something higher. But the statement removed connotes a downward spiral. Do you get that? Okay. And God is saying, you're righteous, you're never removed. No matter what is happening, you can be moved, but that's going to be according to my directive, not removed. Amen? That reminds me of a situation. It's from maybe a decade and a half back. I was ministering the word here. And I said, unemployment is not allowed in this house. So one of the sons in this house was working somewhere. And that was on Sunday. On Monday, he goes to work and people are getting pink slips. Everybody ahead of him got their pink slip. People underneath him got pink slip. And when he came, people were saying, you go and collect your own pink slip. In other words, you laid off or fired. And he says, Pastor said, no unemployment. So he declared the word of God. He goes in there. And instead of getting a pink slip, they keep him. Everybody else is fired. They keep him. So he's working there. And then one day, he comes to my office upstairs. And I said to him, it's time to move. Am I saying the right thing? Okay. It's time to move. So some guy where he works now comes to where he was working, where they fired everybody. They moved, fired everybody, kept him. Comes to him and says, would you like to come work for me? He says, sure. So he goes to the new place, and this company where he was working, I just said, it's time for you to move. They close shop and they ship their business to China. Did I get it correct? Okay. So he's kept, the new person comes, and he is moved. He's not removed. He's moved. That makes sense? Okay. People with the right standing in the presence of God can get moved, but they, it says, shall never. We understand shall never? Shall never means what? Shall never. It is a commitment. You're righteous. You shall never be removed. However, but the wicked shall not inhabit. They shall not abide. Hallelujah. They shall not inhabit the earth. They shall not inhabit. The word is the word shakan. It means that they do not dwell. They do not stay. They do not remain. They do not inhabit the earth. Why are they not going to inhabit the earth? Because it is the meek. Huh? The meek that inherit the earth. But who is the meek? The meek are people who have strength, but controlled strength. Yeah? Controlled strength. So a meek person is not weak. No. A meek person can knock you down. Well, controls his strength. And that person is the righteous. They make inherit the earth. They inhabit the earth. But the wicked, people who are not strengthened, cannot. And let's go back to 29 and let's see it together. The way of the Lord, strength to the upright. The upright is righteous. The upright, therefore, is meek. He has the strength of the Lord. Now, how does meekness translate itself? Meekness translates itself because it is patient. Not because you are anointed, because you're a child of God, does not mean that you go about abusing people and threatening people. Do you know who you're talking to?
I'm a man of God, and I curse you in the name of Jesus. That's not how it works. There are people who think, I'm anointed, I'm God's chosen, I'm God's appointed man of God or woman of God, and now I'm going to curse people. That's not meekness. Now, there's a place where you get fed up with it and say, that's it. No more. But you temper judgment with mercy. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You cannot be a child of God and be an angry person. It's not going to bring about any proper result. Do you know who you're dealing with? So, let God be your avenger. Amen? Just remember, you're the righteous and you cannot be removed. Never. But nobody is going to occupy your space. You see, they're going to occupy your space? Just calm down. Just calm. Calm yourself down. Be at peace and watch God fight for you. Watch God fight for you. And the person who wants to go sit on your seat is going to be neglected, and the seat of honor will shift to you wherever it is that they thought they were going to put you in. That's supposed to be the place of shame. Honor comes to you there. It flows with you. Because you are in Him and you are in unity with God. Watch this. When we're talking about this strength, when we're talking about this unity, we're talking about not just oneness with your fellow brothers, and that is of utmost importance, but oneness with God, the way of God, how God deals, being united with that, following His instruction. Stop this, you stop it. Do this, you do that. Move away from this place, you do that. Come here, you do that. Give this, you do that. Take this back, you do that. Following the instruction of God, that's the place of unity. You are united with Him. And that unity causes you to express love to people around you. And you walk, therefore, in divine victory. Amen? Now, verse 31. It's still unfolding the whole aspect of strength, the way, the truth, the life. It says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. Now that's an interesting statement, because it's saying two things. First thing, the mouth of the just person, and the just person is a person who is dealing with things judicially and with mercy. That's a just person. Okay? A just person is somebody that has allowed God to justify the lines of his life. It's not that it's not okay to go to this other side of the line, but by justification, you stay on your track. So a justified person stays in their track based on what God has commissioned them to do right now. Like when God said to me many years ago, that'll be 4 decades at least, I don't want you preaching anything about prophecy. But that's all I knew how to preach then. I said, why don't you want me to preach? He said, because you don't know what you're talking about. So I started calling all these American and British authors, Hal Lindsey and the rest of them. I said, but that's the same thing that they're talking about. He says, they don't know what they're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. So I don't want you talking about anything until I teach you. And so till this day, unless the Lord says to me to speak about something that has to do with prophecy in terms of end times, I say, nothing. But when I know I am justified to speak, because I'm staying in my lane, it will bring forth wisdom. So justification is not just talking about the mouth of the just speaks wise words. It says, bring it forth. It calls out wisdom. Wisdom is personalized. And wisdom comes. You get it? But you have to have the mouth of the just. If you have a swearing, cursing mouth that's always lashing out and speaking prideful, you know, in a froward way, well, you're not going to be operating in the spirit of the just, and wisdom is not going to come. Wisdom comes when you know your lane. When you know, okay, I'm not going to say anything until the Lord tells me what to say. That's the place of justification. That's the place of being just. That's the place of you not just dealing with issues based on what you see in the natural. Okay? You can okay. Let's say I ask somebody to meet me here at the church at 10 a.m. Give them the address, give them my phone number, give them every possible means to reach, contact me. And I'm here at 10 a.m., they're not here. I'm here, still here at 11, they're not here. I'm 12, and they're not here. 1 p.m., they're not here. And they finally showed up at 1:30. I have every reason to be angry. And I want to lash out at them and tell them, you crazy person, what do you think you are doing? Do you think I have all this time to waste over here? Blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Why didn't you call me? Blah, 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 blah. Why this and why that and why this and why that and why this? I may be right, but I may not be just, because I finally found out that the reason the person was not able to show up at 10 was, number one, the wife that is pregnant went into labor, and he had to dash down to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, the internet was down, and whatever, all kinds of crazy reasons, and that's why he was not able to call me, that's why he was not able to email me, that's why he was not able to, all the reasons. And even though the wife just gave birth, it was so important to him that he gets to me. And he just finally made it. Now, with all my anger being poured, who's going to be ashamed now? Me. Because I wasn't patient enough to find out, brother, we're supposed to meet at 10. What happened? That's exactly what a just man will say. What happened? How come you didn't make it? Would you believe it? There was an accident on the highway. And you should look at the news. 50 cars were burnt up. I just barely escaped. It was mayhem, you know, and I tell you what, it was so bad, I even forgot to call you. I had my phone, you know, I ran out of my car and left the phone inside the car. Oh, brother, thank God. You came out of this alive. No, but I was so angry. We practice living a just life. That's what I'm talking about. We practice being a just person. And to be a just person, you have to be able to forgive others for their iniquities, for their shortfalls, as you would like others to forgive you. But if you're an angry, unforgiving, bitter person, you cannot be just, and you're not going to have wisdom come. Wisdom comes to people who learn the powerful key of being patient. And James says, let patience have its full work, perfect work. And you come to that place where you lack nothing. Because the good shepherd is shepherding your life. Yeah? Let patience have its perfect work. Let it have its work in your life. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that statement, wanting nothing, is akin to the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So how is God leading you in that place of not having lack? By helping you practice the powerful word of patience. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Patience. It is of utmost importance being patient, practicing patience. That word, patience, is a very interesting word. Because it's a word that brings you to the place where you recognize that you're supposed to be under the covering of God. Patience is about you coming under, staying under the covering. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When you stay under upomone, you're staying under the covering, the shelter of God. You're in the secret place of his tabernacle. Now the word of God is saying to us,
the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. Now, is that happening? When James says to us in James 3, he says the tongue, talking about the tongue, he says it's like the helm on the ship. It's like the bit in the mouth of the horse. Yeah? It says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. The mouth. Watch this. The bit is in the mouth, but it is attached to the bridle. Yes? And as the bridle is tugged, it tugs on the bit and tells the horse which direction to turn. Yes? Okay. So if the tongue or the horse's mouth has the bit, has the bridle, then the one controlling the tongue, for the word of God says, no man can tame the tongue or control that tongue. No man. Is that what it says? No man. And if God's word says, no man, it means no man. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So, if we can't control the tongue, but this tongue is supposed to call forth, bring forth wisdom, then the control of the tongue is directly connected to the person who is riding the horse. Yes? Do we agree or not? Okay. So, basically, remember we're talking about patience and being under. Basically, say it this way. That when you allow the lordship of Christ in your life, he's truly Lord, then he's the one controlling your tongue. And by controlling your tongue, controls your whole body, the whole direction of your life, whether you're going left, right, or forward. It's like the rudder. Small thing, great winds, great ship, and by the control of the helm, that whole ship turns. But what is controlling it? Some little thing. Yeah? And who's controlling that little thing that is controlling the whole ship? The captain. Whoever it is that is in the helm. Whoever it is that is piloting that ship. So who's piloting my life? That becomes the great question. Now, if we go back to the passage in Proverbs, then what we're saying, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. And what we learned is that wisdom is personalized as the Lord.
Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom of God. So your mouth, justified under the control and lordship of Christ, causes Jesus to be made manifest. You get it? I'm sure some of you are wondering, where is he going with all of this? He's going all over the place. I'm trying to get you to come. Get the point. When you understand it, then things fall in proper order. It says, but the froward tongue, that prideful, foolish tongue, shall be cut out. Cut out. Destroyed. Brought to shame. It perishes. It is cut out. Now, I want you to see something here. When the Word of God talks about this cut out. Now, if I cut out your tongue, are you able to speak? No. Even though your mind wants to say something, you cannot say anything that is intelligent anymore. Your tongue is cut out. And basically what the Lord is saying is simple. The tongue of the froward is cut out. He's not going to make any sense. I'm shutting him down. However, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Now, what is that connected to? It's connected to the Word of God, which says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can prove that which is what that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. And God gives us to everyone the measure of faith. God is calling us to prove that which is His good, acceptable, and perfect will. And the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. And so what is he going to do? He's going to speak that which is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Speaketh frowardness. And in speaking frowardness, it's going to be cut out. The word is frowardness is the word tapuka. Tapuka. It's a good, nice word. You know, you can say, you're talking tapuka. Stop tapukaing here. such an interesting word. Well, the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness, arrogance. That ends up being nothing. You know, there are people, you know, they're just, what do you say, full of it? That's frowardness. Just full of it. You're just yapping off and talking nonsense. You know, some people just talk and talk and talk and talk. Tell you about how amazing they are. I've seen lots of people like that. Big talk. Empty words. I have this, I have that, I have this, I have that. I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. And what have you done in the kingdom of God? Oh, I have friends. They will never use what they've got to support the work of God. They always have friends and collect from everybody. Forwardness. Empty words. That's not what God has called us to. God wants you to be engaged. You know, somebody, I was saying thanks to somebody for something they did, and they said, we're in this together. We're in this together. You know, that's a powerful word. We're in this together. And isn't that where we started from? Unity. Oneness. That's where the power is. And God says, if they are in unity, one, there's nothing they cannot do. They can accomplish whatever it is they want to accomplish. But I don't want them to accomplish things and be a pain to themselves. So let me scatter them for now. And he did. But on the day of Pentecost, he brought them together. Amen? May we walk in the fullness of God's life and bring forth that which is acceptable. We must always think, as I wrap with this, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. It's not everything you'd say. Well, they had it coming, but is it acceptable? Is it acceptable? What you just said, is it acceptable? Is this edifying? And when you said it, what were you trying to accomplish? Oh, I had to give them a piece of my mind. Keep on giving up those pieces of your mind until you become mindless. You give a piece to that person and a piece to that person and a piece over there. All your mind is all over the place. How many do you have left? That's not what God calls us to. God wants us to bring forth wisdom. And what does wisdom do? Wisdom digs deep and lays a foundation on a rock. And when the storm of life comes, the house stays because it was built by a wise man on the wise one who is the rock. Don't spew out of your mouth what you have to keep on undoing. Too many people just blah, 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 blah. Speak unbelief. That's not acceptable. Speak in doubt. That's not acceptable. Speaking in foolishness. That's not acceptable. You're supposed to speak that which is acceptable. But what is that which is acceptable? That which the Lord is quickening in your spirit. Have you ever been in a situation where you want to say something and the Spirit of God says, don't? Anybody like that? And then you find out later, if I had said what I was going to say, oh my God, what would have happened? A lot of people destroy their destiny by what they say.
destroy your whole future by what you say. So follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Listen, you don't know what to do? Be quiet. Be patient. Come under and ask, Father, what do you want me to say? And sometimes he might just say, say nothing. But I got to say something. No, say nothing. Then the good shepherd, the Bible say that he was led to slaughter and he said nothing, he was silent. About the Lord Jesus Christ, kept his mouth shut. And sometimes you need to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes I need to keep my mouth shut. Say nothing. Say nothing. And that might be the best thing you did for yourself that day. When you speak, let it be acceptable. In his sight, let it bring healing to you, edification to others. And at the end of it all, we'll say, this is the doing of the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word of truth. Thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your glory. Help us make the right decisions on a daily basis. Help us to refute every activity of the evil one as we say yes and amen to your word of life. Thank you, Lord. Remove from us the lips and the mouth of the froward, and grant us the mouth of the just. Thank you, Lord. We're justified by faith. We are forgiven. We're redeemed. We're walking under the grace of your divine patience. Your grace sufficiency is turning things around for us. And the decisions we make glorify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we ask this. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, that's the end of chapter 10. We will continue on with chapter 11 when we get back.
Well, thank you, Father, again for a good message. Thank you, Father, that we are under such good teaching that will bring us up to a better place to understand the Spirit of God, what He wants for us, who we should be, and to walk in the ways of God. Walk in wisdom, walk in truth, talk in wisdom, talk in truth. Talk what Jesus wants us to talk. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. I want to welcome or thank everybody for coming here tonight again. God is good. It's time to give of your offerings and tithes and what God has put into you for you to give. Speak to your offering, because your words are valuable. Your word